Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You're listening to the Erica and McAfee podcast, where we share stories of grief and loss due to miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and journeys of trying to conceive and infertility. Welcome to episode 13 of the Erica and McAfee podcast. October is here, and it is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. Today's podcast is brought to you by MyBabyExisted.com. Go to MyBabyExisted.com to download your free meme. Download it and post pictures to your favorite social platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and use the hashtag MyBabyExisted. We remember our angel babies all month long and honor their existence in our hearts and minds. In today's episode, Jamila shares her sudden, unexpected infant death story of daughter Ryan, who passed away at 4 months old, and how she founded Ryan's Divine Angels Organization. Jamila and her husband, Luther, found Ryan unresponsive and not breathing during a huge snowstorm in Atlanta in January 2014. Jamila fell into a deep depression with anxiety and even attempted suicide. But with God's grace and guidance, Jamila defied all odds and came out stronger and closer with her husband than ever. They began using Instagram as a tool to connect with other angel moms and fathers, and that's how Ryan's Divine Angels, a nonprofit organization, was founded in 2015. They saw a need to break the silence around SIDS through awareness, education, and promotion of mental health through counseling and spiritual guidance. Ryan Divine's Angels is hosting an Angel Mom Brunch on October the 22nd in Atlanta, Georgia, for those listeners who are in Atlanta. So welcome, Jamila, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So the way I normally start my podcast is for every guest to just tell a little bit about themselves, and then we kind of transition into just sharing our loss stories.
Okay. Well, I'm Jamila Davis. I'm 25 years old. I'm a wife and a mother of two. I have one in heaven, Ryan Yvonne, and I have my two-year-old son. His name is Maven. He'll be three in December. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm a Spelman graduate. Okay. I don't know. I'm terrible with my bios, but
no,
that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
No, you did fine. So let's talk about your loss story. Share your loss story with us.
Okay, so basically, I like to kind of go back to when I met my husband, because everything just moved like so fast, and like the journey started, like, I feel like as soon as we met, because after we met, 2 days later we started dating.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so we were just like, we don't want to be with anyone else, like, let's just do this. I don't see a point in wasting time. So 2 months later we got pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah, with Ryan. So we found out about Ryan in January of 2013. Mm-hmm. We got engaged at our baby shower. It was August, so I was about 8 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So we got engaged 8 months after that. So technically 10 months after meeting, we got, well, Yeah, about 10 or 11 months after dating, we got engaged, we're pregnant, and then we had Ryan in September of 2013. Mm-hmm. Now, my whole pregnancy was extremely, like, it was extremely easy. Of course, it's a lot, you know, that goes on when you kind of, I don't want to say we rushed into a relationship because I don't feel like it was rushed. It's always felt like, you know, meant to be, but it's hard for the outside world to adjust to two people just rapidly, you know, moving in love. So that was stressful. But in terms of health, you know, my pregnancy was fine. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting induced, and that was after 24 or 26 hours of labor with no epidural. And then I had to end up getting a C-section. Oh. So Ryan was born, via C-section. She was 7 pounds, 3 ounces, 20 inches long. She was perfectly healthy. You know, every day was beautiful with her. And although it was just like a big adjustment, because like I said, me and my husband were trying to get to know, well, he was my fiance at the time. It was just a lot of adjusting because neither one of us had really gone through all of this before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trying to raise a baby and everything, but it was still just like, it felt like forever. Mm-hmm. Like those 4 months that she was here, it felt like a lifetime. But, so it was a big, you flash forward, it was, a huge 4 days after her 4 month birthday. Mm-hmm. It was a huge, well, let me go back a little bit more, because I had to leave school when I got pregnant with her, and I decided to go back, and I started that January semester. So I think I went back to school like January 21st.
So she was born in September, and you went back to school that following semester in January.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So I went back to start my junior year at Spelman. That was like January 21st. And then we had this huge snowstorm in Atlanta. And if you live in Atlanta, you know how crazy it was. People were like stuck on the highway for like 12 hours.
I remember that, because at that time I was in Charlotte. My husband and I were living in Charlotte. And I do remember seeing the news and seeing pictures of how bad Atlanta was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like God was really with me that day. Because they let us out early from school. And honestly, if I had left school like an hour later, I probably would have just been stuck, you know, in that traffic and not able to get home.
Mm-hmm.
So I got home. I went to Target because there was a Target across the street, and I got her a bowl and some spoons and some cereal because, you know, she's 4 months, so you can start introducing like solids. I was just super excited just to give her just a little something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just like, it was a cool day with me and her dad. We lived in a high-rise condo at the time, so we could look out of the window and see the traffic and see the snow and see everything. So we were just, you know, happy to be, you know, around each other. And Luther put her to sleep about 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we made dinner and we watched Kevin Hart stand up. It's not Laugh at My Pain. I think it was the one after that, but we watched that. And after that, you know, it was time to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Luther was about to get in the shower, and I checked on the baby, and she was not breathing.
Mm.
And it was, you know, just the worst feeling that you could ever, like, feel, to roll, you know, just pick your baby up and they're lifeless.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gray and they're cold. and it had only been 2 hours since we, you know, I believe we checked on her once in between then, but it happened so rapidly, we didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. She was just lifeless. So we tried to perform CPR. I tried to call 911. They put us on hold. I had to we just ran out with like I had on, I think I had on Luther's boxers or something. Just had to run. We just ran out and we had to get on the elevator. We live on the 35th floor. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting, you know, a few minutes, which felt like hours, to get downstairs. And we get out and the roads are icy. We can barely get down the street. We're sliding backwards. We're sliding all over the place. We're driving on the wrong side of the street. Mm-hmm. And it's a cop that's at the end of the street. And he's like, "You're going the wrong way." And I just, you know, had to jump out the car and I'm just screaming. I'm frantic trying to tell him what happened. They try to call the fire department. The fire department was actually behind our building and drove her to the hospital and we followed behind her. But honestly, she was gone from the beginning. Mm. So we got to the hospital and they tried resuscitating her for about an hour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just didn't feel real. Like I couldn't sit there and accept that she was gone. Like it, you know, you see so many miracles happening. You watch all this TV and things like that, and you see that they magically like save these people. And I'm just thinking that this is going to happen for my daughter. I'm thinking about everything, like at worst, because her oxygen was cut off. Maybe, you know, she might have a disability at this point, but you know, God, I don't care. Like, I just want her mm-hmm. here. Right. Like, and I don't know. I'm like, in that hour, I'm going through it. Like, am I being selfish for wanting her to live like that with a disability? Like, all of these things are just going through my head, and it's so crazy mm-hmm. that I was sitting there thinking of all those things. And my husband, he's the same way. He's just not believing that this is it. Right. So when they pronounced her dead, I just ran out of the hospital and I ran in front of an 18-wheeler.
Oh my goodness.
And I purposely did that because I just, you know, I was, what, 21? I'm 25 now, but being that this has happened to me, I feel like I'm 45. But at the time, I was a baby. I was 21. I'm just like, how am I supposed to deal with this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a college student. Like, I'm a child. Like, how am I supposed to deal with this? And then to know that no one could come and get us, rescue us. I mean, there was nothing that could be done with the weather and everything else. Yeah. We had to wait 2 days before anyone could get to us.
Wow.
My mom lived in Savannah, which is 4 hours away. Right. So for her to get down there was impossible. But running in front of that 18-wheeler, somebody from the hospital, like, I know the truck swerved out and someone pulled me. I'm not exactly sure. I still don't even know what happened. I just know that I'm here. So right. Something happened. And leaving the hospital, like you said in your podcast, it just leaves, you know, leave home. I mean, to go home empty-handed, mm-hmm. it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel natural. It just doesn't make any sense because you carried the child. You had baby showers and everyone's so excited, and it's just you go home with nothing. And losing her was a very humbling experience for me because I really think of myself as being someone that's extremely resourceful, go-getter, make it happen. You know, I don't accept the word no. You know, I'm going to fix it. Whatever it is, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to find a way there. And I always pride myself on, like, you know, always finding a resolution to something. But this was something that I could not control. Mm-hmm. It was so permanent. Like, you know, I've never experienced something so permanent. You can't call anyone. You can't pay any money. You can't make, you know, you can't do anything.
Right.
To get your child back. And when I got home from the hospital, I wrote her a letter. And I feel like I still have it somewhere. I had my best friend read it at her funeral. But I just wrote her a letter. And at that same day, even though I knew it wasn't going to be easy, prior to all of that, I knew I was a Christian. I knew I believed in God. I celebrated Christmas, but I was not like a church goer. I didn't know any gospel songs. I can't quote any scriptures. Like, I wasn't that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
But I did rededicate my life to Christ when I was about 3 months pregnant with her. I had gotten saved before when I was very young, but I got saved then, and I started to journal throughout my pregnancy, and I asked God for, you know, strength, and, you know, because a lot of people left me during that pregnancy. A lot of my friends, like, betrayed me, tried to break up my relationship. You know, we were children, so they can't wrap themselves around that concept of, I'm in love, I'm raising a family, and I'm settling down.
Right.
So it was just like a whole lot with that. So I had to journal. And when I used to ask God for strength, I had to realize, like, you have to really be specific about what you ask God for. Because I believe you said that as well. You have to be very specific in what you ask God for. Because, and I asked him for strength. He made me strong.
October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. Today's episode is brought to you by MyBabyExisted.com, a campaign created by me, Erica M. McAfee, to honor and show that our angel babies did exist. Go to MyBabyExisted.com to download your free meme and then share your pictures. Please post pictures of your ultrasounds, pregnancy bumps, positive pregnancy tests, and babies, and use the hashtag MyBabyExisted to honor your angel babies all month long. We remember our angel babies during the month of October and honor them and their existence in our hearts and minds. You all, when you left the hospital, you went home, you wrote a letter. Did you all go through preparing for a funeral for her?
Well, my aunt came from Augusta, and she came and just asked me who our church was, because we had found a church home January of 2013, about 2 months before she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know who we were, but she ended up working with them to put together, you know, an entire service for her. And I'll always be grateful to her for that, you know, because we couldn't move.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We didn't shower. We didn't do anything for about 3 days.
Right.
Like, we just had the same clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And in that time, like, I would say from, that would go on into the story of how my, you know, getting pregnant with my son, but everything prior to getting pregnant with my son, she passed away in January. We got pregnant with him. We found out about him on April 1st. So
wow.
It was very, very quick.
Very quick, yeah.
But in that time, in between there, I tried every, like, I just kept trying different ways to kill myself. I was literally strategizing to see what I can do so that no one could catch me and stop me. Like, that's where I was. I was going to the grief counselor at Spelman. Mm-hmm. She was very insensitive. She was asking me, did I want to go to, you know, a home, some type of place. Basically asking, did I want to be committed? Mm-hmm. Some type of shady oak, shady pines type of place. And I'm like, I don't want that. I just, you know, I just want somebody to understand.
Right.
Like, my pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, it was just like, okay, I don't know where I'm gonna find solace or where I'm gonna find my sanity, but mm-hmm. the only person I knew, and not even a person, but the only, you know, person that I knew was to just seek God and trust God. And God has literally been all that me and my husband have had. This entire time, we have people who are supportive, and definitely the, you know, the pregnancy and infant loss community is super supportive, but God is who pulled us out of that and got us to the place that we are right now.
Wow.
So those suicide attempts, I mean, pills, you know, we live, like I said, we lived on the 35th floor.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even have to say anymore than that.
Mm-hmm.
I started to really lose my mind. I thought the devil was in front of me talking to me. It just really got really, really ugly and really, really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And God blessed us with Maven.
Mm. So it was Maven was your saving grace?
Yes, he literally, you know, sometimes I just tear up looking at him because he saved my life.
Mm.
Because if I did not have him, I don't know if I would be here.
Mm.
And I, you know, if God has given me a second chance to be a mother, what I'm not going to do is, you know, kill my child.
Right.
And kill myself.
Right.
So I had to really just pull it together,
mm-hmm.
because I knew that I couldn't be stressed and, you know, doing all of the things that I was doing and have a healthy pregnancy. So, right. Of course, it was scary at first, but for some reason, I guess, like, after, like, the first month, the anxiety kind of went away.
After the first month after you had Maven?
The first month after I found out about Maven.
Oh, after you found out about him. Okay,
yeah.
So your anxiety went away. You didn't have those same feelings that you were having, that same grief heartache you were having before.
Yeah, I mean, of course you're going to cry, and I was still having dreams that, you know, that they made a mistake and they brought her home. You know, I was having those type of things. But it wasn't as bad because, like I said, I thought I was talking to the devil in my room. Like, I was going completely that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting to a point where maybe they needed to commit me. I don't know. But I did start going to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ended up finding a good counselor.
That's awesome.
And she actually moved away. I think she moved away shortly after Maven was born. No, she moved away shortly after I got married. Maven was one when we got married. So mm-hmm. I have been working with her for quite a while, and she helped me out, you know, tremendously. So it was just, you know, a beautiful, like, beautiful, beautiful thing to carry Maven and just build my strength. I will say that Mother's Day, that was hard. That first Mother's Day without Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was extremely hard. I just cried the entire day, and I had one friend come and see me and brought me a gift.
Yeah.
And it was a personalized gift as well. Mm-hmm. So she had planned on that, like, prior to my good friend Shelby. She's my Spelman sister, and I've known her since, like, middle school, but that was amazing. But the anxiety started to just fade because I knew that I needed to trust God. And I really started, like, my faith became extremely strong. Mm-hmm. And I just had to stay focused.
So once Maven was born, were you scared in any of those months? Up until 4 months, you know, 6 months, were you scared during, you know, as you put him to sleep? Did you have any anxiety or fears during that time?
Of course I did. I mean, when he was born, I didn't sleep in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I just stayed up, was just staring at him and his dad. Him and his dad were getting the best sleep of their lives, but I was just sitting up, just scared. Mm-hmm. I was scared. Everything was good until I had him, and then they were saying that his blood sugar was low, mm-hmm. and that they kept like coming in and pricking and prodding him. When I looked at my bill, they had pricked him for his blood 26 times.
Oh wow.
And it was overkill because it was not even necessary. They were saying because he didn't want to drink the formula, but the formula was gross. That's why he didn't want to drink mm-hmm. the formula, because he had no problems breastfeeding.
Right.
So as soon as my milk came down, all of his levels were good.
Normal, yeah.
Yeah, but they were coming, you know, they were very insensitive. I have a really young face. Like, sometimes I feel like I look like I'm 13 and I'm 25. So I feel like when they saw me, they're looking at me like, oh, like it's a teen mom. She don't know what she's talking about. So we're just going to tell her what to do mm-hmm. and have no regard for her request.
Right.
And that was just driving me, you know, crazy. And I feel like God sent this nurse and to talk to me. She worked in the NICU. Mm-hmm. And she's also an angel mother. And I'm just like, I can't even imagine working in the NICU mm-hmm. with, you know, sick babies. Mm-hmm. And you've lost a child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of those babies may not make it.
Right.
So, and she came and she talked to me. And I want to say her name was something like very weird, like Nurse Raspberry or something. Like, she just, I'm pretty sure she was an angel sent by God to talk to me.
I know. I was going to say she was your angel, because I had an angel too when my son passed away that was in the form of a custodial staff member who came in room. And same thing, you know, she talked to me, she gave me a big old hug, told me about her child she lost, and then she was gone. So now that, you know, I look back on it hindsight and like, oh yeah, that was God, that was an angel sent to me as well. So she was an angel on her.
Right. Yeah, so like, it was just, you know, so it's just amazing how God works. And we have had, even though everything that we have up until this point cannot replace our daughter, we would give it all back to have her just for a day. Mm-hmm. If I could just be with her for one more day, I would give everything back.
Right.
But God has really covered us, and my husband went on to get his master's degree mm-hmm. in 2015. I finished Spelman the fall semester of 2014, mm-hmm. but I walked in 2015 and got my degree. We bought a house, we got married, you know, started more businesses, you know, everything has just been on the up and up for us. We're like continuously elevating by God's grace. Mm-hmm. And now we're in a position to help others.
Wow. So let's look at transition into what you're doing with your Angel Mom Brunch and your newly founded nonprofit, and Ryan's Divine Angels. So let's talk about that.
Okay, so Divine is my middle name, and I inherited that from my grandmother. Her middle name is Divine, and she passed away in 2014. It was 2015. Yeah, she passed away about 2 months before I got married. So we called it Ryan's Divine Angels. And It's a nonprofit organization, and it's basically dedicated to the prevention of pregnancy and infant loss, you know, through education, raising awareness. We will offer bereavement services for families, you know, who have experienced such losses. Because it's so sudden, you're not prepared for those type of things. So every child deserves a proper burial or cremation, and we want to be able to help families out with that as well. But before I started Ryan's Divine Angels, I would just do these spotlights on angel mothers on my personal Instagram page, just sharing everybody's story, and that really picked up like a lot. And you know, my DMs were filled, and I'm just, you know, speaking with other angel mothers. I feel like we're like family now, and it was just great. And people who hadn't experienced that loss, like maybe friends or like my other followers, they thanked me for, you know, sharing these stories because they had no idea. And I made it a point that if a mother wanted to show a photo of her baby, you know, if the baby was like the picture of their deceased child, if they wanted to post that picture, you know, the pictures that they have you take with, you know, they might put the baby in a nice outfit or, you know, things like that. I allow them to post whatever it is that they wanted to post, because I feel like people tend to feel like they need to grieve in silence, or that they should be ashamed, or, you know, if this is what I've gone through, I'm not going to censor anything, because this is real life.
Right.
You know, people need to understand that it's not pretty.
Right.
You know, I feel like issues and nonprofits like breast cancer awareness, with the pink and the ribbon, they make it really glorified and pretty and glamorous. And breast cancer is not pretty.
Right.
Neither is pregnancy and infant loss. So people really need to understand, you know, what goes on. And the reason why people don't want to share their story is because they feel like people are going to judge them, or they feel like people are going to think that they killed their baby. And I know why they feel this way, because you'll have people who are your own family members that will say the most terrible things to you. You can't even, you know, really imagine. But I feel like it's time that we stop grieving in silence. It's nothing to be ashamed of, you know. And it's so many women, over 900,000 pregnancies or, you know, pregnancy or infants are lost every year. And there's no real discussion about it on a national level.
No.
You're not seeing anyone on the Steve Harvey show or on The Real or on The View talking about pregnancy and infant loss in October. And I'm bothered that we are in 2017 and no one is talking about it.
Right.
So that is why I wanted to start Ryan's Divine Angels, is to start to spread awareness on a national level. Like, that's my life's work, is to make sure that, you know, myself and along with other angel mothers, that we really bring this to the forefront and raise money and, you know, just fundraise to fund research.
Right.
Like sudden infant death. To me, there's no reason. You know, my daughter's autopsy came back clean. Like nothing happened. They don't know what happened. And I feel like that's not enough to tell a parent, we don't know what happened. Like, she just died. That's not okay. And that's not acceptable, to just tell someone that their child just died.
Right.
Because babies are not supposed to die. That's just not the way that it goes. So we need to enhance research and support the research and try to find a cure or something. You know, they have like the back to sleep and things like that. But my daughter was sleeping on her back. Alone. So what now?
Right.
So that is you know, everything behind Ryan's Divine Angels. And on October 22nd, 2017, in Atlanta, we're having an Angel Mothers brunch. And I really wanted to have this event to just have a day to just pamper and encourage and uplift Angel Mothers and their families. Because you kind of, you know, you can lose yourself in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And you feel so alone. And I feel like to create that community environment to let you know, like, you're not alone and that you're not the only one who feels this way. You're not the only one who's going through this. And although we all have different lost stories, mm-hmm. you know, we still have so much in common when yes. it comes to just strength and just finding the courage to get up every single day
yes.
and live.
Yes.
Like, it's something really, like, supernatural to me that we can get up every day and move forward.
Right.
And I feel like some women don't think that that's possible after such a loss.
Yep.
So I wanted to bring people to the event that have experienced a pregnancy or infant loss to share their story and share, you know, their journey from that point to where they are now and the successes that they have. And that success is not always money. It could be, you know, you have a family, you're married, or, you know, whatever that is, to where you're at a great point in your life and you're no longer struggling on a day-to-day basis and you've learned to cope with your grief in order to, you know, be a constructive part of society.
Right.
So that is the premise behind.
So the Angel Moms brunch is on October 22nd in Atlanta. When does your tickets go on sale, and how much is the brunch?
So the tickets go on sale on Sunday. Sunday is my daughter's 4-year birthday.
Oh, okay.
So September 24th is when the tickets go on sale, and that we have an early bird price of $25.
Okay.
And then after about a week and a half, 2 weeks, we're gonna have the tickets available. They'll be $40, and all of the proceeds go to, you know, SIDS research, mm-hmm. and also to help us create an account for bereavement services, because mm-hmm. we are a new nonprofit, but everything is going, you know, to charity. We have a few sponsors, a few things we're doing out of pocket, but we are just, you know, trying to get this off the ground, as much as possible, just to really give these mothers a really good time. But with that, $40 includes mimosas, non-alcoholic beverages, and a brunch buffet and a dessert buffet, as well as live entertainment, a Q&A panel discussion, and we'll have about 2 guest speakers. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So it's going to be a really packed, you know, fun-filled event. We'll have red carpet correspondence from the Shade Room. And a little later, I'll be able to announce who's performing and who our guest speaker is. We're just getting a few other things sorted out. All of that stuff will be announced in about the next 2 weeks.
So by the time this podcast airs, I will make sure I put all of the details of the Angel Mom brunch in the description box or in the show notes, so that the listeners here, if you're in the Atlanta area, that you will be able to support Jamila and mm-hmm. And Ryan's Divine Angels and what they're doing. So Jamila, just to wrap it up, you know, this has been awesome. I thank you for coming on the podcast. What encouraging or inspiring words that you can give to all of the other moms that have experienced an infant loss or SIDS out there? What encouragement can you give them?
My first thing is to just become spiritually grounded and understand that you can't deal with this on an earthly level. It's something that you have to deal with on a spiritual level. And I know some people's faiths may vary from others, but you have to get spiritually grounded. You cannot depend on those around you or anything like that to help you through this. Mm-hmm. So, and don't get me wrong, there are people that are extremely supportive, your family and everything, but you know, they're going through it too.
Right.
So you just have to try to deal with it on a spiritual level. And definitely, although you're dealing with it on a spiritual level, I highly encourage grief counseling.
Right.
Grief counseling is so important, and especially when it comes to losing a child in a relationship, whether mm-hmm. it's just a relationship or a marriage, you know, 9 times out of 10, they expect those relationships to fail. Yes. So you have to work extra hard mm-hmm. to keep that together. Amen. Because that's a whole different podcast that in is itself.
That is a whole different podcast, and I hope to talk about that more so in November. But yes, that is a whole different podcast that I'm sure that I can bring most of my folks back on to talk about their relationship and how they weathered the storm literally through grief. But I thank you so much for being on the podcast. Where can we find you on social?
Okay, so I have my personal Instagram, which I'll be doing a lot on my personal page as well as the foundation page. That one is just Jameela Davis, Jameelah, last name Davis, Davis. And also there's Ryan's Divine Angel, so that's Ryan's with a E, not an A, so Ryen's Divine Angels. Her website is under construction right now, mm-hmm. but we will have the Eventbrite link in both social medias for ticket purchases.
Okay. All right. That is awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jameela, for being a part
thank
of the podcast
you.
And sharing your story. And
yeah.
I'm so excited for those folks who are listening that are in Atlanta, the other Angel Moms, for you all to come on out and support this Angel Mom brunch on October the 22nd.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I pray that the show was inspirational and a blessing to you. The show notes and links for today's podcast can be found on ericaandmcafee.com/podcast episodes. Now it's time for you to tell your story. Visit ericaandmcafee.com for more information on how to be a part of the show. You can follow me on social at Erica M. McAfee everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I would love for you to join the community. We need your feedback on the Erica and McAfee podcast. For those of you listening in iTunes, please go to iTunes and rate and review the show. Keep the faith, and I will talk to you next Wednesday.